Well, welcome, everyone. Amen. It's nice to hear a little response. That's the thing I was talking about last week. Like watching, we don't get your face to see when you're singing, you know, what's going on. And so I was telling Greg Savage how much I was enjoying him over here last week because he was kind of moving around. And so I could tell, oh, okay, there's enjoyment going on there. So that's the challenge of not seeing the face. But you know what? Most of all, when we come to worship Jesus, it's about the heart. And so I pray that our hearts are inclined to him. And so I want to welcome you to Calvary, joining us. And I know some are joining us online. Those of you who are here in person, want to thank you for being here. The weather is changing, which we're thankful for that. And it's nice to see fall coming and to come together. And no matter how things look, Jesus is still on the throne. And so we're going to continue to follow him. I'm trying to see who I can grab here real quick. John, would you mind doing something for me? Mr. Hay, would you mind going and closing those doors outside? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that very much. But as we get settled and get ready for worship, first of all, I want to say thank you for joining us. If you are a guest or getting just kind of connected with Calvary, we want to get to know you better. And so we've got a digital connect card that you can find online. And so if you can take just a few minutes on our website, cbcmodesto.org/connect, that form is there, and we promise not to be invasive. We just want to get to know you better. And so if you can take some time and do that for us, we appreciate it, and we definitely want to get to know each and every one better. So thank you for joining us in a time of worship. Got a few things I want to make sure you're aware of. First of all, today is we've got a fall fiesta is what we're calling it. A time for us to gather together. But one of the things we want to celebrate is we want to celebrate Darren and Susie. And so we're thankful that they're here to join us this morning. Yeah, you can go ahead and clap for that. That's a good thing. So since 1984, do I have that right? 1984, Darren and Susie have been a part of Calvary. So that's a long time. You're going to hear a little more about that. But we want to say thank you to them and come together and celebrate as God has a new adventure for them. And so thank you for joining us. Hopefully you can stay afterward. The lunch is catered, so you didn't have to worry about bringing anything. If you didn't have a chance, we've had thank you cards. And just wanting to take time, because a lot of you have had different interaction with Darren and Susie. And so if you didn't have a chance to do one of those thank you cards, they are still out in the lobby. And then we've got a table over in the social hall that you can just set that on there. And that what's on that table, I want to make sure, Darren and Susie, you all know that's for you. So anything on the table, you can even take the tablecloth if you want. So that's all for you. So please join us. Please stay afterwards. We're going to have a good time today. And then next weekend, don't forget, we've got our Halloween movie night coming up, and we're very much looking forward to that. We sent out 1,000 postcards to our area right here. We sent out 1,000. And so excited to see what comes of that. If you can help, we've got some setup needs. If you want to help with setup, please come talk to me. If you can help with food or anything like that, if you can talk to my wife, Heather, and let her know about what we would love to have your help. We've got goodie bags for all the kids. Obviously, we're going to be playing a movie, Monsters, Inc., a good Disney movie we don't think is necessarily going to scare anyone. But it's just free, and we want people to come and let people know, hey, we care, we love you, we're trying to do something safe, and we've got lots of room to spread out just on a unique time. And so hopefully you can join us next week. If you can't join us, one thing you can especially do, which is always even more powerful, is pray. Just be in prayer. Those who show up, lives that get touched, and people we get to interact with and begin to build a relationship. That's the most important thing, and so that's what we're after. So we're looking forward to that next week. If you come, or if not, then that night, though, before you go to bed, you need to change your clock. So don't forget time change, okay? Time change is next weekend, okay? Technically, it's 2 a.m. in the morning. I'm not getting up at 2 to change my clock, so that ain't happening, okay? So when I go to bed, I'm going to change my clock, okay? So don't forget next weekend to be sure and do that. It is fall back, okay? All right? It is fall back. Okay, so make sure, set them back 1 hour. A lot of our cell phones and so on are going to do that, but I know the clock, the microwave, I got to do that myself. So make sure, change your clock. And don't forget, next Sunday then, for worship, we're going back to our regular 10:15. Okay, so next Sunday, back to the regular 10:15, and hopefully we will keep it there. We'll see what happens as far as numbers and everything going on, but that's the plan. So change your clocks, change of time for worship. Back to 10:15. So hopefully you can join us for all those things. And don't forget, as we head into the holiday season, we want to continue to give. we want to continue to share with other people. And one of the ways is we've got Operation Christmas Child. It's not going to look like how we had hoped it would look, but isn't that 2020? I don't think 2020 is how we'd hoped it would look. And so that's all right. But as we've got the boxes, and many of you have committed to those, so if you'd like to go ahead and grab the boxes that you committed to, please just let Cynthia know. We want to keep track of that. You can go ahead and take those and fill them up if you would like. We've got a little bit of the items necessary for those, so if you contact Cynthia in the office, you could come down and fill it here, whatever you would like to do, or you may decide, you know what, I'm going to wait till next year when we get it all together. You may feel more comfortable with that. Any of those are great, but we're going to do some. Okay? We want to keep that going, and as we look at that and looking forward to what we do for Christmas and how we continue to help those who are in need of that. So we want to continue to give as we keep moving forward. And that's part of who we are. We are a giving people. We give because God gave. And so we give of time, talent, and treasure. And in our worship, we will have a time where we pray over the offering. But if you have your tithes and offerings, there is a box that is right in the center in the back and one also in the lobby. And you can just drop your tithes and offerings in there. And we thank you for being faithful. There are other options for giving on our website /give. And so if you want to do that online, but remembering God is a giving God and we want to give back to him. And so as we look at Operation Christmas Child, we look at our Christmas baskets, we look at Halloween and the things we're doing. This is where that money goes because we want to see the name of Jesus go forth. And so we thank you for being faithful. If you have any questions about the financials, you're welcome to contact the office. I know we haven't had a business meeting in a while. And so if you're just curious, hey, how have things looked? How have things gone? One of the things I can say and I'm so encouraged by is Calvary has been and continues to be a giving church. It's giving and faithful in that way. And so thank you for that. And I believe, honestly, as you give, God is going to bless you and bless others. And so thank you. But if you're curious and would like to see those, just contact the office and you can get copies of those information. We want to make sure you're informed of what's going on. But as we begin our worship, we're going to pray. We're going to take some time to pray. One of the things I'd like to ask you to be praying for is pray for our leadership team. Our leadership team is going to meet next Sunday after church. And one of the things we're looking at is how do we look forward in 2021? How do we prepare? Okay, when so much is unknown, how do we move forward? We're going to begin a new series next Sunday, and that new series is called Off the Map. Because really, you know what? We're off the map. There's really not a guide for where we are. And so how do we look ahead and how do we look forward? And so please be praying for your leadership team as they meet and consider these things. But prayer is powerful and we need to be a praying people. So as we head into our worship, we're going to begin with prayer this morning. I've asked Darren if he would pray for us. I know you've heard him pray many times. And so as he makes his way up here and leads us as we begin our worship, why don't you go ahead and stand as well? And so let's prepare our hearts for worship as Darren leads us in prayer.
If I may share with you before I pray, as the pastor asked me to pray the other day, I was contemplating on what I would say and how I would say it and how I would pray. And I've read the book of Ephesians probably 10 times in the last few months. And Paul had a love for the church and he had a love for Christians. He had a love for God's people. And let me just share with you out of chapter 3. Verses 14 through 21, he says this to the church at Ephesus and the Christian churches around. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we know these are some tough times. And Lord, I pray today that you would unite us together as your people, as Christians, as Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, that we would have the strength You would give us the strength to keep moving forward. And Lord, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And Lord, sharing your love with those who do not know you. I pray that you would just be with Calvary Baptist Church again as you unite us. Bring us together in one accord. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In your precious and holy name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day.
before the Lord as we thank him for the tithes and offerings. Father God, I just thank you for how good and how faithful you are. And Lord, we know as we read your word, John 3:16, how did you show your love? You gave. And so, Father, I just ask that you continue to help us not just to be a giving people, but a generous people. And Lord, that there would be joy in our hearts as we give, for you love a cheerful giver. And so, Father, as we give back to you, Lord, some it'll be through an envelope, some through it'll be online. The method isn't important. Father, the important thing is our hearts inclined to you and giving back what you've already given to us. And so we just ask that you bless it. We ask that you multiply it, that you would take it forth, that we would continue to be a light on a hill that can't be hidden. And so, Jesus, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And Lord of life, His mercy reigns forever. Amazing grace. The
right. While we're getting settled, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be at the end of Philippians 4. We'll be at the end of Philippians 4. This will be it for our study in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, your Bible app, either one. I love the passage that you read this morning, Darren. Ephesians 3:20. That is a verse that God has just kind of nailed upon me the last year. So I love that you read that. But Philippians 4 is where we're going to be, and we're going to finish that up today. Well, we've got coming up in just a little bit, from what I hear, a fantastic lunch. So with that in mind, it's like, well, let's just talk about food. Let's just get you hungry, right? Let's just begin and get you thinking about it. But definitely better than what you're about to have. Sometimes fast food can actually hit the spot. And there's just moments where you're like, man, just a burger. Doesn't that sound good? And if you're vegetarian, then I guess it doesn't sound good. But thinking about food, you know, in and out, doesn't that just sound good? I remember when I could eat a double-double. Can't eat those anymore. It's too much. I knew some guys who could put away like four of those at once. I was like, wow. Sometimes that In-N-Out, maybe Five Guys, Jack in the Box, McDonald's. I mean, you got some good food. Now, granted, not the healthiest food. Not the healthiest food. But there are just moments where, you know, Big Mac, Quarter Pounder, just a good old cheeseburger. That just kind of sounds good. Right? But one of the reasons that I'm about to explain, you're going to know why it's not healthy. In 1999, there was a guy in Utah who bought a hamburger from McDonald's. And for whatever reason, I don't quite understand, he hung on to it. And I've got a picture of it. It's on the next slide. This is that same hamburger 14 years later. This is 2013. So for whatever reason, he decided he was going to hang on to it. Now, not as appetizing as when you first get one, but I got to say, for a hamburger, that didn't look that bad. Okay? That doesn't understand why they aren't that healthy. Because the question is, what the heck is in that that makes it last that long? That ought to scare us a little bit. Okay? That really ought to scare us to see what is in that. Okay? Because I think most of us, if you've lived any time, you realize things just don't last. Things in life just don't stay, and how a burger can last for 14 years is beyond us. But have you ever really taken church to think about this group of people, this community? How long is this community supposed to last? And so as Paul is finishing Philippians 4, he's giving them a last couple bit of words because that's his desire. Is he wants them to become a community that lasts. And I pray that we will as well. So if you have your Bibles and you're able, please stand with me and let's read Philippians 4. We're just going to take the last couple of verses. We're going to begin in verse 21. Philippians 4, starting in verse 21. Give my greetings to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you their greetings. And all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which, as 2 Timothy 3 reminds us, is inspired, God-breathed. And Lord, we don't just have a book that is full of words and pages and numbers. We have a living word. Because to truly understand the word of God, you have to know the God of the word. Right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just minister to us. Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to us right now. Holy Spirit, just give us the word we need this morning to pick up our hearts, to encourage us, to point us in the direction we need to go. Holy Spirit, be who you are so that the God of peace, who gives a peace that passes understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus as we listen to your word. Holy Spirit, speak, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things about endings is then you have an opportunity for a beginning. And so we've been in Philippians a while. We took a break. You may not have realized, or you may not have been counting, 22 messages out of this book. Now, depending upon how you look at that, wow, that's a lot for four chapters. But, man, there's been a lot of good stuff in here. The interesting thing about this is keep in mind, when the church, if you can read a book all the way through, that's a good thing. You're going to see the story. But this church started roughly around 51 AD. Paul is on a second missionary journey. And so as he starts this church, and it began down at the riverside, not in a synagogue, it started with a lady by the name of Lydia. And so as God moved in her, and then a Philippian jailer, and a girl who was demon-possessed, the church went on to become a church that greatly supported Paul. And that's part of the reason Paul is writing to them, is he wants to thank them. Thank you. Thank you for how you've been a support to me. But I think even more so, because of his deep affection and love for them, he wanted to say, be one. And so I don't think Darren could have read a more fitting passage. The unity that Paul was after, he wanted this church to be one, to be united. But in that unity, that they wouldn't just stay where they were. United would mature. And that they would see and watch God do all that he could. And I have no doubt that when Paul started this church, he wanted this church to last. He was thinking, man, I hope this church is going to make it. But I want to give you some bad news. It didn't. See, most likely, this church lasted until the 3rd or 4th century. Could have been longer, but we know for sure that in the 7th century, the city of Philippi was destroyed and never recovered. So we know for sure it didn't make it past that point in time. In the 4th through the 6th century, there were other churches that were started in this area. But this church didn't make it. And while I think there may be parts of that that we look at and go, oh, I don't want to hear that. I think we need to understand what Jesus does intend to last. You see, when we look at the church, I think we need to look at it in two ways. One is there's church which I would describe with a little c. And what I mean by that is a local body, a local group, a local community, a local fellowship. But there is church with a big C, a capital C, and this is the universal church. This is the church that is united around the belief in Jesus, that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus came down from heaven to earth to walk this earth like you and I, facing all the challenges, the struggles, the temptations, the hurts, but yet was perfect through all of it, went to the cross and died for you and I to pay for our sin, to pay for what is broken within us. And if you ever think there's not a brokenness within humanity, just look at our world, let alone just look in the mirror. There's a brokenness, and that's what Jesus died for, to reunite us to him, to restore relationship with God. And the universal church is built around this idea that Jesus did pay for sin, but not only that, he rose again. He overcame sin, overcame death, and to show us there is life, there is more, and there is eternity that waits. And so whether a small C church, a local community lasts or not, the universal church will last forever. And that will go on into eternity. And the fact is, if you look at the book of Revelation, the 7 churches in chapters 2 and 3, none of those churches exist today. But I don't believe in any way that should discourage us. What I believe we should remember is what the church is about. And I want to give you 2 things that I believe are going to help us realize and understand that the church is intended to last. The church is intended to keep going forward. And the first thing is this. Remember, Jesus establishes the community. Jesus is the one who establishes the community. It's not you and I. It's not even a local group. It's Jesus. See, in verse 21, Paul said, "Give my greetings to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Christ Jesus." There's a phrase in there I like that he uses, God's holy people. God's holy people. If you're looking at another translation, it may have said saints or holy ones. And see, I think most of us, if we think of the church, a community, we don't think of ourselves as saints. We have the idea more of, I think, what the Catholic Church has. St. Peter, St. Luke, St. Mark. That's what we think of. But what this is saying is, no, God's holy people, you are a saint. See, too often we think of ourselves in the past. If you come to know Jesus, your past is a sinner. Your present and future is a saint. You have been made right. And Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 21 says, for God made Christ. Now, just a little side note. You guys realize Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay? Every time you hear that, doesn't it sound like Jesus Christ? That's his last, like David Dean. That's his last name. No, it's not his last name. Okay, it's his title. Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Okay, but anyway, Christ. For God made Christ, we could say Jesus, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. See, Jesus is the one who establishes the community. Jesus is the one who makes us holy because our holiness, his holiness has been given to us. And so the beautiful thing is now when God looks at you, what does he see? He doesn't see your mess. He doesn't see your sins. He doesn't see all that. He sees Jesus. He covers us. Scripture talks about being clothed in righteousness. Imagine Jesus has put on us. And so this is a very fitting description of God's holy people. You know Jesus. Because again, Jesus is the one who established the community. And what that does is when Jesus establishes the community, he brings you into relationship. He does not bring you into religion. The Pharisees had that. They were all over that. They had that dialed in and good. No, he brings you into relationship. And someone may look at my life and say, well, you are a religious person. I am a religious person because of a relationship. I've got the order right. If you got religion and no relationship, you got nothing. You just got behaviors and routines. See, Jesus establishes a relationship, and what that means is we are knit together. We are one. We are a family. And that is a beautiful thing. We are not an organization. We are not a business. We are a family. Now, like most families, what does that mean? We can squabble. We can get into it with each other. But you know what? We're still family. And that doesn't change. And see, I love this ending because Paul is bringing together the family. You got the brothers in Rome, the brothers who are with me, the sisters. They're sending their greetings to you. This is family. So the church in Rome to the church in Philippi. Hey, family, we're not in the same location, but we are family. We are knit together because of Jesus. Jesus is the one who establishes the community. So they're writing to you. And Paul even mentions in verse 22, there are believers in Caesar's household. Emperor Caesar. This is who we're talking about, which I think that's awesome too. How far has the gospel gone? It's gone into Caesar's house. God takes it everywhere. And these believers in Rome, in Philippi, all across the world, we are one. We are family. Now, the unfortunate thing is we don't always act like it. But we need to remember that's who we are. And it's not about the name, especially not the name out on the front. Are we thankful for Calvary Baptist Church? Absolutely. October 30th, 1949, that's when Calvary started. So if you're doing the math, the anniversary, 71 years is coming up Friday. 71 years since 1951 at this location. That's a beautiful thing. That's a legacy, but you know what? We can also let some of that get in the way. See, we can let the little congregation and the denomination get in front of what God really wants to do. See, I've made a choice to be Southern Baptist. This is a Southern Baptist church. And that's what I've chosen, and that's where I believe best fits what God is doing in my life and aligning me with a group of people to impact the world. And Southern Baptists have a history of doing that. Now, is it perfect? No, it is not. Are there places where you've had to repent? Absolutely. Is there probably more? Yes. But that's where I've chosen to serve and be a part of. But you know what? There are believers who are not Southern Baptists, and them not being Southern Baptists is not going to get in the way of us being family and fellowship. You see, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be, okay, Southern Baptists, you guys are down Heavenly Way. That's your street. Methodists, you guys are down Hallelujah Avenue. No, it's not going to be about that. It's going to be about Jesus. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus. And that's why if you look at our bylaws, you look at our statements, when people come to Calvary, what does it say? It says, like faith and order. If someone comes from another Southern Baptist church, praise God. But if they come from something else who believes and teaches and follows Jesus, praise God. That's what matters. That's what makes us family. And that is the coolest thing when you go across the state, the nation, the world, and you meet somebody who knows Jesus. That's a beautiful thing. It doesn't matter at that point what their denomination is. What matters? Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who establishes the community. And see, it's unfortunate how that gets in the way. When Heather and I were younger, you know, I've been at different ministry positions, and I worked at a Southern Baptist church that I eventually left, and then I got into teaching, and some of you know that story. But in the time we were in that town, the Southern Baptist churches became very unhealthy. Doctrine began to go in directions it was not supposed to go in. And so at that time, we were not going to a Southern Baptist church. But God started to stir in me because he had put a call on my life. That ministry is where I was headed. And so I went to the pastor of the church and I said, you know what, this is what God is doing, but I know I need to get into a Southern Baptist church. That's where I need to be because that's what I believe God has called me to. And as I sat down in front of that pastor, he just basically gave it to me and told me I was stupid for doing that. He said, Southern Baptists got it all wrong. They're a mess. They're this, they're that. And there was a part of me that was dumbfounded, and a part of me was like, I don't really care what you say because I'm doing what God told me to do. Okay. But see, that perspective from him was it was about the denomination. Instead of saying to me, hey, brother, I'm proud of you for following what Jesus wants you to do. That's where it should have been. And so we got to realize we can let the wrong things get in front of the right things. Jesus is the one who establishes the community. And do we want to see Southern Baptist work to continue to go forward? Absolutely. Do we want to see the cooperative program move? Annie Armstrong is coming up. Lottie Moon is coming up. Do we want to continue to see God move across? Do we want to see our association around this area do things in the Central Valley and beyond? Absolutely. But remember, Jesus is the one who establishes the community. And sometimes that means we cross those lines to see Jesus move forward. But realize, as Jesus establishes the community, he also gives us what we need to keep moving forward. He also gives us what we need to help the community move forward. And that's the second thing we need to remember is this, is remember that grace fuels the community. Remember that grace fuels the community. See, Paul finished in verse 23. He said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is a common ending for Paul. It's common for Paul in his letters to talk about grace at the end. And what I really like is it's a bookend because in verse 2 of chapter 1, Paul talked about grace. The end of the book, he says grace again. Because Paul understands Jesus is the one who brought us together, but that is an act of grace. And grace is defined as goodwill freely given by God, especially to the benefit of the one who receives, regardless of the benefit to the one who gives. See, in no way can we look at the cross and go, oh, that was good for Jesus. That would ignore the brutality and the torture and everything that Jesus went through and how much he suffered to pay for our sin. But see, that is what grace is. Regardless, Jesus still gave it anyway. He still went through all that and gave it to us. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is one of my favorite verses that I really believe hits all of this. God saved you by his grace. He saved you by his goodwill, his undeserved favor when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. See, grace is what fuels the community. Grace is what keeps us going to remember. It's not about us. There's a humility in being a part of a community. And at any point, what can especially damage the unity is when we start to puff up, when we start to think, oh, man, we got this dialed in. We're doing a good job here. We got to remember, Jesus doesn't need us. We need him. There's no point in heaven where Jesus was looking down like it's the spiritual game of kickball and they go, oh, I need you on my team. I better pick you first. If anything, Jesus is like, no, I got this. I don't need you on the team. But by his grace, he says, but you know what? I'm going to pick you. You get to be on the team. And I'm going to pick you, not because of who you are, but because I love you. And what's interesting is, as this letter is written to a community, and Paul wants grace for the whole community, this ending of with your spirit, this is an individual phrase. He's writing this to each individual person. I want the grace of Jesus for you to experience individually. I want you to have this for yourself. And I want it to be something you experience with all of who you are. Your heart, your mind, your soul. That you understand God's grace. You see, part of that grace is remembering I'm loved because not of what I do, but because of who Jesus is. His love always remains and is consistent. And so individually, as I experience this grace, what that means is when I sin, what do? I run back to Jesus. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for that thought. Forgive me for that word, that action, whatever it may have been. Forgive me for not obeying what you told me to do. Whatever it was, I run back to him. And that's also a sign of maturity, to understand who God is and that we don't run from him, we run to him. And grace fuels that in the community that I run back to him. And grace then allows me to keep moving forward. But see, what do we do to ourselves when we sin? Man, we just beat ourselves up. Think of all the things we say in our heads. It's like we just turn ourselves into a punching bag. Oh, you stink. Oh, man, you're so sorry. And basically what we say when we buy into that and we hear those lies, because that's what Satan wants to give us, is we say Jesus' cross isn't enough. Cross isn't enough. What did Jesus say? He said, it is finished. It's done. So don't nullify what Jesus did on the cross. See, in grace, okay, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We keep moving forward. And that's what fuels this community, because we understand what God has given us in grace. But as grace fuels the community, sometimes I wish, we probably wish we had some type of gauge. Wish we had like a grace meter that would tell us something's going on. My family, we were sitting, Matt and Heather and I were sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden we're like, what's that beeping? Like, is it a bomb? No, we didn't say that. But we're sitting there, we're like, what is that sound? And it's annoying. And so finally I go out in the garage. It's the freezer. I'm like, oh, the freezer's beeping. You know, so first question is, all right, who left it open? Which it wasn't. It was closed. And so, like, and it's got a battery in it. It's got a battery in it. I think it has something to do when the power does go out, you know, keeps it colder. But I just switched the battery. And I think we wish we had a grace meter that would just kind of beep at us. Hey, you're kind of missing grace again. What's fueling you is you're trying to do it on your own. Don't forget grace. Jesus has done it all. We need that. And see, the community helps do that. But as we experience grace, then we get to come together and extend grace to each other. We overlook, as Scripture talks about, sometimes what other people do. Not because they sin, just because we don't agree. And that's all right. We overlook things. And yes, we give grace and charity where we disagree. But you know what? We also extend grace because when there are sin, is we go to our brother. We go to our sister and we deal with it. When we've offended a brother or sister, we go to them and seek forgiveness. And grace fuels the community, so it keeps going. And that's the beauty of what the world gets to see, is we've got a mix of people in this room, different backgrounds and ethnicities, all sorts of things, and we come together. And the world ought to see that and go, y'all shouldn't be together. Ah, that's right. We got Jesus. That's the beauty of what we've got. And see, Paul is really giving in verse 23, this is a benediction, like we would give a prayer at the end of a service. This is a closing. And what he's hoping that as each individual experiences this, then as a community, as a group, we come together and it's fully realized. We're united. We're in harmony. We experience joy and peace together. When one of us is hurting, we hurt together. When one of us is rejoicing, we rejoice together. That's what we get to experience. And that's what Paul is praying and hoping. And I think it's pretty cool and pretty fitting. And a lot of different cultures have different greetings. But I was reading about this one in a culture where when you meet somebody, they point to their heart, then to their lips, and then to their forehead. And in this greeting, what they're saying is, my heart loves you, my lips speak well of you, and my mind thinks the best of you. What about it? What a greeting. What a greeting, just when we see people. That's pretty cool. I like that. And so grace is what God has given to fuel the community, but it'd be nothing if Jesus hadn't started it, hadn't established the community. But it still leaves us asking the question, will this community last? I don't know. And really, that's not the point. There are things in life that, and I think we found that most things don't last. It's interesting. Experts have taken time to look at cassette tapes. And those of you who remember cassette tapes, okay, if you play a tape about 100 times a year, after 10 years, it's going to lose its sound quality. And that makes sense. And if y'all remember getting the pencil in there, and you're like, oh, man, I got to think, you know, when it starts unwinding. But you know what? That tape's going to keep on playing. The average running shoe worn by the average runner on the average surface can run 350 to 500 miles. I don't really want to run one, but that's all right. A pencil can write up to 30,000 words or draw a line more than 30 miles long. The projected lifespan right now in the U.S. is about 78 years. A dollar bill lasts approximately 18 months in circulation. And what we've seen today is a cheeseburger can last for 14 years. But see, here's the beautiful thing, is the church, the universal church, will last forever. It's going to last forever. And so there's hope and there's joy in that, because what Jesus has started, he will see it through. See, the question is, where is your hope today? Is your hope in Jesus? Because if it is, your hope is in the one who makes things last. If not, be careful. Be careful. Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, that you were so gracious and loving to send Jesus. And Jesus, you are the one who brings the community together. Jesus, we wouldn't be a group without you. We wouldn't be a family without you. So, Father, I just ask that you continue to unite us around your Son, Jesus. And I pray that you just continue to move and stir in us, that we would be the family, we would be the community you have intended us to be. But, Jesus, if there's somebody here this morning, sitting in person, or somebody listening to this at some point who's looking for family, looking for that community to belong to, that Jesus, they would say, I need you, Jesus. Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you rose again. Jesus, make me a part of the family. God, I know that you would hear that prayer and you would answer and you would say, welcome, son, welcome, daughter. And Father, that right now, across the globe. I know there have been those who have already been in worship, those who are in worship right now, and those who will be today. That there are those who will come into the family for the first time. But that's our brothers and sisters worshiping you of all different languages, backgrounds, ethnicities. What a beautiful picture of how amazing God you are. And so, Father, please, as we have looked in Philippians, please unite us. Please help us to be one. Help us to continue to grow and mature. So, Father, I just ask that you lead us as we continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this point in our service, it's a time where I want us to think about, where are we as a family? And Bobby, I'm just going to ask, if you can play Amazing Grace for us, just go ahead and play that. Because I just want you to spend some time, just you and Jesus, I'd be asking the question, what is family like for me today? And I mean in this context. Am I connected to a church family? Am I loving the family the way I should? Am I seeking to be a part of the family? Have I got an issue with another brother or sister in the family that I need to get right? You see, when there's division, that affects all of us. And so right now, as Bobby plays, I just want you to take a few minutes in the quietness of your heart just to ask, God, is there anything I need to do, anything I need to take care of? Please do that as Bobby plays.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Thank you so much for this amazing grace that you've given. God, I just ask if you brought anything to our hearts and minds that we get it right with you, if there's anything we've got to get right with another brother, sister, that we do that. Lord, let us walk in unity. Father, we live in a divided world. We see it along so many different lines. But Jesus, that's not your church. That's not this community. That's not what you meant for us. And so I just pray that you'd help us to live as a united people, because we're united around one thing, and Jesus, it's you. Lead us, guide us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And if you've made any kind of decision, that whether you're joining us online or here in person, please share that with us. We want to encourage you. We want to help you in that. It's a community thing. See, following Jesus is a personal thing. But it's not a private thing. And I think that's a challenge sometimes, because there are things we want to keep private. That's not whatever Jesus intended, community. And so we need each other. And so if you've got a decision you made, please share that with us on our website, /decision. You can find a decision form. And we want to be in contact with you and help you, support you, at the very least pray for you. And so again, as I mentioned, we do continue to pray. And if you have prayer requests, a lot of things we're praying for, praying about. And so we want to continue to join each other. That's part of what unites us. When you hear somebody pray for you, Man, that feels good. Right? But even more so, our Heavenly Father, Sovereign God, Lord of Heaven's armies, He hears you. And so if somebody's taking something to Him on our behalf, that's a beautiful thing. And so we want to pray for one another. And so part of the challenge of the community is the community doesn't stay the same. The community changes. We've seen changes over this week, even. I don't know how many of you remember or know Toni Scafari, but she went home to be with Jesus this week. I believe late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. And she definitely had some health things, but I think about Mary Bonham in that class and Garnet Scholes and a lot of those ladies. They spent a lot of good time together. We are thankful that she is with Jesus now. But that changes the community. That changes here. But see, as changes happen here, we'll be reunited there. And so that's what we look forward to. But that doesn't mean it's easy to say goodbye. And so that's also part of what we're doing today. But I look at it as more as a send-off when it comes to Darren and Susie. Because okay? When you're family, we're going to see each other again. Even if we don't see each other again in this life, we're going to see each other in the next life. And so that's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to ask Darren and Susie, if you all can come on up. I know you don't like that. Well, I know Susie doesn't like that, but you have to anyway, so. So I've known a little bit of the history, and if you kind of recall, Darren is one of the first people I met because he was on the pastor search team. And so if you've gotten to know Darren, you know that this is a man who will look you in the eye, sitting across from you, and then he will just say it like it is. He will not hold back. Am I right? Yeah, see? Yeah, we got you. But that's not a bad thing. You know where you stand, okay? So that's good. But I remember those first conversations, and one of the things I remember most is his love for this church. Because that mattered to him. And I believe that's part of why he prayed the emotions that were there. Because of what this church means to him. Hey, 19 years old is when he started serving here. Hey. So we won't talk about how old he is now. We'll let y'all do the math. Okay? But 19 years old beginning, serving on staff here, being a part of leading music, leading worship. Okay? And all that has gone on in that time. And sometimes he had to step out and come back. Different pastors he has worked with. So I'm assuming we've got Price. Don. Why did I draw a blank on his last name? Don McIntyre. Jeez, sorry. Okay. So all the changes. And those two men were here for a long time. Long time. And so Darren has been faithful in all that. And so it is important that we say thank you. And realizing in that this is a team effort. Okay? Definitely a team effort. Okay, and serving as a deacon. And I think a lot of times we say deacon and we just talk about the men. Okay, there's no guy doing much of value without his wife with him. So let's be honest. I know that. Okay. For sure. And so, Susie, we thank you for the time that you all spent together and the things you've done. I know ladies' night out and different things that you have been a part of and had an influence on. And so let's give them a hand of applause and just say thank you. Thank you. Amen, amen. You all can sit just a little bit longer. I know you're getting hungry. We talked about food. So one of the things, and we mentioned the thank you card. So there is a table over there, and our intent, as I said, is we want you to take what's on it. We've got a few little things there for you. If you didn't have a chance and you wanted to write something, we've got some more still out there. And so make sure, put that, because it's great when you say it, but it's nice. I have a box of cards. Okay. And so those memories are precious. So make sure you take that, because there may be something you have a memory with Darren that he totally forgot about, and Susie with her. And so remember those, and that's a good thing. So please take some time to do that. We have kind of a table in the middle that has reserved on it. Now, we're set up with four per table. If you came with your family and there's five of you, obviously grab another chair. Okay? We are trying to maintain 48 inside, so we've got the tables and then the rest outside. But in kind of the center, it says reserved, and so we want you guys to take that so people, you're easy to get to. So you may not want to be easy to get to, but we're doing that part. One more thing about the lunch, and then I want to give you a shot if you want to say anything, because I thought you might have something to say. As we make our way over, the lunch is being cooked outside, okay, on the gym side. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to go out through the Welcome Center and go around. You will grab your food and then come back in. So we're trying to make sure people aren't running over each other. We're trying to space out and just give each other as much room as we can. But it's going to be good. So quesadillas and other stuff, we got some good food going on. But it's just important that we remember and we say thank you. And so we just want to thank you all very much. And I can give you a mic. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
Sure, might as well say something real quick.
All right, I knew it.
I won't take you very long. I just want to make sure I say a couple things. First of all, Susie did do 20 years in the nursery here at Calvary, and if you amen. She organized that. I got to see her get phone calls, you know, on Saturday night and Sunday morning, and I got to see all the frustrations of that, along with myself dealing with music and musicians not being here and all that. But I just wanted to say this: it's been truly a blessing. For me and Susie to be here for the time that we were here. I've seen the church go from 700 people in this auditorium down to 13 and back up to 450. And I've seen it go back and up and down and up and down. But brother, what you said this morning, and I've said it in my Sunday school class, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. He is in control. He's a sovereign God. He's in control of all things. We will get through this whole mess of 2020. We will come out shining on the other side. Just keep God first in your life. And keep moving forward. Thank you, and God bless.
Susie, did you want to say anything? No? Okay. All right. Just making sure. Just making sure. Well, we are going to pray, and our prayer is going to be for the food as well. And so we're going to do that. And then as we make our way, you can either go out the double doors, you can go this way. And again, we have seating inside and outside. So go ahead and find a spot. I think she already stepped out, but just say thank you to Barbara. Barbara, over the last couple weeks with the Service for Faith, helping with that and this, she's just been doing a lot of awesome things. So if you can't say thank you to her for that and appreciate that very much. So, Greg, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to come up as the head of our deacons. I know you spent a good amount of time working with Darren. If you will pray for our food, but most of all, pray for this couple and the new adventure that they've got. God has got new things in store for them, and so we're excited to see what God is going to do.
Is this on?
Yeah, I guess so.
Let me pray for this couple first. Most gracious and heavenly Father, you know our hearts. And Lord, our hearts are kind of struggling right now because we're losing an integral part of our community. But Lord, we know your plans for them and your plans are always good. So Lord, I ask that you just bless them mightily and use them wherever you send them, Lord. Let them be a beacon of your love and help them to teach the things that you've taught them, how to love one another. They've been a blessing to us, Lord, and we know in advance that they'll be a blessing wherever they go. So, Lord, we ask that you just keep your loving arms around them. Keep them under your protection, Lord, and use them as only you can, Lord. Because when you use them, they will bring all glory and honor to you. So, Lord, we pray for that. Consider it as done because of who you are. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless the food that has been prepared for our bodies. Bless the hands that prepared it and might bring nourishment to our bodies. Bless this fellowship that we are about to go into, Lord. Keep us safe because we know that through you we can do all things, Lord. So bless in a mighty way. Bless as only you can, Lord. And we'll be so very careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, because truly you deserve it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can go ahead and head over if you're able to join us. If not, have a great week.